Morning. Well, my title this morning is, of course, a ripoff. I wanted to remind you of what my message this morning is not. It is not, don't worry, be happy. That's not what my title is, okay? My title is something much different. Don't worry. Be joyful. Don't worry, be happy. That's the world's version of optimism. It's shallow, it's short-lived. Really, it's dependent upon circumstances. If you think Paul is saying that here in the book of Philippians, don't worry, be happy, you have totally misunderstood what Paul has been saying, what we've been listening to in this letter to the Philippians. The Bible never commands us to be happy. It often commands us to be joyful. There's a difference. Happiness depends on what happens to us. The Bible never commands us to be happy, but it often commands us to be joyful. Joy depends on Christ, on who He is, and what He has done for us and in us. Remember, when Paul wrote this book, he's not writing these words from a comfortable home or a peaceful setting. He's in a Roman prison. Yet the theme of Philippians could not be more clear. So let's go to Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, and this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and minds, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell or think on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help me to center my thoughts here on your word. God, I pray that you would help me to explain your word as we look at this text. God, I pray that you would open our eyes, our minds, our hearts to the truth of your word. God, we cannot overestimate the value of having a copy of the word of God, the revelation that you have provided for us. So God, help us as we look into it this morning, I pray. Amen. Yes, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Go back to chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. There's clearly a theme in the book of Philippians. We've been looking at it from the beginning when we started several months back, and that is to rejoice. To have joy. You'll notice that both of those verses say the same thing: rejoice in the Lord. Okay, the key to joy, of being joyful, of rejoicing, is Jesus. Paul can say this because he has joy, not because of his circumstances. Again, he's in prison, but because of his Savior. rejoice in the Lord. Joy comes from a relationship with the Lord. Happiness comes from circumstances. So the same God who empowered Paul to rejoice in chains can empower us to rejoice in our challenges. God never commands us to do something that he does not enable us to obey. Look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. All right. So basically what we're seeing here is don't worry. Verse 6, be joyful. Verse 4. The word anxious literally means to be pulled apart, torn between faith and fear, torn between trust and doubt. If we have fear, we don't have faith. If we have doubt, we don't have trust. Paul says, don't let yourself be torn apart. This word anxious or worry is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 6:25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life or to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So you'll see that word, do not be worried, is the same word here in our text in chapter 4, verse 6 of Philippians. But be anxious for nothing. So you will either be worried or you will be joyful. Worry divides our minds and drains our strength. Let me ask you, what were you worried about 5 years ago? What were you worried about a year ago? Right? What were you worried about 10 years ago? Fact is, you probably don't remember. That's the nature of worry. It consumes today's energy for tomorrow's imaginary problems. If we're going to have the type of faith that rejoices even in prison, as Paul did, we must learn to do something about our worries. In this passage, Paul gives us 5 biblical principles for overcoming worry and cultivating joy. So Paul begins in verse 1, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, and this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Though in prison, Paul finds joy in the Philippians' faith and their steadfastness. They are his reward. They are the fruit of his ministry for Christ. He rejoices in their standing firm, in their joy in the Lord. As I studied this passage and as my thoughts more and more moved towards my retirement, I could truly say I understand what Paul's talking about. When I am gone, my joy will still be in you, in this church. When I announced my retirement, I said, I believe this can be a positive thing. It can create unity. It can get people working together. And I've seen that. I've been so blessed by some of the things that's been going on, people getting involved, and it's great. I understand how Paul is feeling here. He thinks back at his time at that church, and he's happy for their progress. He continues to love them. He is the fruit of, they are the fruit of his ministry. However, he turns to a practical issue. Verse 2, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. These two women are at odds. I want to make it clear, they're not troublemakers. Look at verse 3. Indeed, dear companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of Christ together with Clement and also the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So they're not troublemakers, but somewhere along the line, a disagreement divided them. So he pleads with them, live in harmony. And he reminds them and us what truly matters. Okay? What truly matters? Look at verse 3. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. There is a reason to rejoice. Your salvation is secure. Rejoice, your salvation is secure. We don't rejoice. Not that life is perfect or people always agree, but that our salvation is secure. Your name, if you trust Christ, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's in heaven. It's written down. It's sealed. It's signed. It's delivered. And I think he's telling these two women, get your eyes off these things that where you have a disagreement and put your eyes on heaven. Look what Jesus said in Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. I mean, that is amazing. He has sent them out with the ability to actually cast out demons, to do these things. And they were excited about that. He says, hey, don't be excited about that. I'll tell you what to be excited about. Your names are written in the book of life. Hebrews 12:23 speaks of the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. We're our name's already on the roll. After the service, where the elders are meeting with a young man who's going to join the church. His name will be added to the roll. Our names have already been added to the roll of the church in heaven. Rejoice in that. Ephesians 2:6 reminds us that God raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when life is uncertain, when relationships are strained, when the world feels unstable, remember, your name is written in heaven. That is why Paul commands us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Joy is not the absence of problems, it's the presence of Christ. Look at verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. So, five principles here how to overcome worry. The first is rejoice. Your name is in the book of life. Rejoice. Your salvation is secure. Number two, do not have unreasonable expectations. Verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Now, depending on which translation you have, you'll see that word gentle is translated different ways. It means gracious, patient, moderate, or reasonable. It describes the person who doesn't insist on his own rights or demands that life always go his way. That's unreasonable. Okay? But a reasonable person, is one who is willing to temper their expectations. Many of our worries come from unrealistic expectations, wanting more than we need, or expecting others to meet needs that only God can fill. When we release control, when we stop demanding perfection from people or circumstances, the gentleness replaces anxiety. So Paul says, the Lord is near. That's both a statement of his presence, the Lord's presence, and of his coming. So the Lord is near. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The psalmist said that God is near to the brokenhearted. So he's near as far as his presence, but his coming is also near. James says he's standing at the door. Because the Lord is near, we can be patient. We can be gracious. We can be at peace. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, without wavering, without hypocrisy. First Timothy 6:6 reminds us, godliness with contentment is great gain. The art of contentment is learned by trusting a sovereign Lord who is always near. So rejoice, your salvation is secure. Secondly, don't have unreasonable expectations. Thirdly, praying correctly is a key to overcoming worry. Praying correctly is a key to overcoming worry. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, if I didn't know that my name was written in heaven, I'd be worried, okay? But Paul, based upon the fact that our name are in the book of life, again, this is that fact is what he wants to comfort these two women who are in a disagreement with, all right, to live in harmony in the Lord, because you're going to live with them for eternity. So Paul gives here in verses 6 and 7 a profound but simple command. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So you see, clearly links, do not worry. Don't be anxious. With prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. So notice the contrast. Nothing to worry about, everything to pray about. Nothing to worry about, everything to pray about. Prayer and worry cannot coexist. We've been seeing this. Trust and doubt. Faith and fear, they cannot coexist. Worry and prayer cannot coexist. When one begins, the other ends. They're opposed to each other. The problem with worry is not, again, our circumstances. It's our response to those circumstances. Peter echoes this in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all our anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Or as Paul would say, he's near. He's near. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. Cast your worries on him. How? With prayer. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving or giving thanks is the antidote to anxiety. Adam, would you mind grabbing my water bottle and bring it up here for me? Thank you, sir. Yep. Sorry. All right, so on the heels of that, verse 6, come one of the greatest promises in Scripture, verse 7. If you will pray about everything, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Again, we can't even understand how this works, but it does. That's what he's saying. Beyond all comprehension. But I will pray about things I'm worried about. The peace of God will guard my heart and my mind, according to verse 7. The word guard there is a military term. It's like Paul, as he's writing this letter, is under a guard. He is surrounded by Roman guards. So he uses the word guard. God's peace will watch over. It will guard your heart and your mind, keeping out fear and anxiety. Isaiah 26:3. The steadfastness of mine, you, God, will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. When we pray right, correctly, in faith and thanksgiving, we experience the peace of God that defies explanation. So praying correctly is the key to overcoming worry. Knowing our names written in the book of life overcomes worry. Rejoicing in the Lord, in the presence of Jesus, overcomes worry. And thinking correctly is a key to overcoming worry. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, excellent, worthy of praise, think or dwell on these things. To dwell on these things means to take into account. When you're starting to worry, take into account the things that God has given you, has blessed you with, has done for you in the past. Dwell on the goodness of God, as the song said. This is not positive thinking. This is biblical thinking. It's focusing our thoughts on what aligns with God's truth and character. Second Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So we're taking these thoughts, these worries, all these things that this world tries to pound into our head, okay, that rise up against the knowledge of God. We instead take captive of our thoughts in obedience to Christ. Thinking correctly is a key to overcoming worry. Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right thinking leads to right feeling. I still have this book in my library, although it's old and I have to go look. But I read a great book that has meant so much to me by James Dobson, right? And I can't remember the exact title, but it was basically Don't Trust Your Feelings. That may have been the title of it now I think about it. Basically, he's saying your feelings are liars. This is what Paul's getting at here. Okay, think on these things, not what the world has tried to get you to think on. Fill your mind with God's truth. If you fill your mind with God's truth, you won't have any room for worries, lies. So what does he tell us to think on? Well, whatever is true. Focus on what is real, not imagined. Worry, again, is so much imaginary. Oh, I know this is going to happen. When you don't know this is going to happen at all. What is true? What is real? And of course, where do we find that? We find it in Scripture. What is honorable? In other words, what things are worthy of respect, of honor? What is right? The things that align with God's standards. What is pure? What is morally clean, undefiled by sin? The world is full of impurity. It beats down the doors of our mind, trying to get in. Right? Lovely. Impure thoughts are ugly. But things that are lovely, things that promote love, not bitterness or worldliness. Things that are of good repute, the things that are commendable and constructive. It says things that are excellent and praiseworthy, things that honor God and build faith. If we think rightly, we will live rightly. And worry will lose its grip on us, which is the next thing. Living correctly is a key to overcoming worry. Verse 9. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Living correctly is a key to overcoming worry. Paul concludes with a call to action. He says, practice these things. Most of us don't need more information. We need application. I mean, I've been in church every Sunday since I was 5 years old. I honestly, I bet you couldn't put on one hand the few times that I've not been in church on Sunday morning, which is a blessing. But that also means, you know how many sermons I have heard? Or, to be honest with you, since 21, preached, and lessons I've taught, and how many people like you good folks that have come every Sunday have heard me? We don't need more information. We need to put it into practice. That's just the blunt truth. Now, God commands us to come to church. He's given us pastors and teachers. These are all good things, and we need to know the right information. But you can't just come and keep hearing the right information without doing something about it. If we think right, we will live right. So living correctly is the key to overcoming worry. Paul modeled the life that he preached. He's rejoicing. He has gentleness. He's a prayer warrior, and he thinks rightly. And then Paul says, put these things into practice. Now notice a shift here from verse 7 and verse 9. Okay? Verse 7 says, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Now you go down to verse 9, and it says, the God of peace will be with you. That's a shift from the peace of God to the God of peace. In other words, when you live what you've learned, you don't just experience his peace, you experience his presence. When you begin to practice what you've learned, you don't just experience his peace, which you do, verse 7, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. But you also, when you start practicing these things, verse 9, the peace of the God of peace himself will guard your hearts and minds. The God of peace walks with those who walk in his ways. Worry and faith cannot coexist. When we have faith, we don't need to worry. When we worry, we are not exercising faith. Paul's words came from a prison cell, yet they overflow with joy. Joy doesn't come from a change in our circumstances. It comes from a confidence in a changeless Christ. So today, whatever burden you've carried into this place, hear God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Don't worry, not because life is easy, but because the Lord is near. Don't worry, because your name is written in heaven. Don't worry, because the peace of God guards your heart. Don't worry, because the God of peace walks beside you. Don't worry. Be joyful in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, honestly, every preacher or teacher needs listeners. I have preached quite often sermons to myself out loud without anybody here. But Lord, the sermon is not designed to be just heard by me, but by your people. So Lord, I thank you for faithful people who have attended Community Bible Church and listened to me for decades. Lord, I'm thankful for that. But God, my fear as I look towards moving on, Lord, my fear is not them getting the right information. My fear is them not acting on it, God. So Lord, help us, as Paul simply said, to practice these things. To practice these things, Lord. And in the end, or finally, as he says, finally, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Amen.